Drive early on Sunday morning to Waller, Texas. And I would preach that morning, and we'd stay the afternoon, and I'd preach that night, and then we'd go back to our home in College Station. And without fail, we ate lunch every Sunday afternoon with one of the older couples of the congregation, Brother and Sister Lawrence Koenig. And we would sit at their table, and Sister Jean would fill the table with all kinds of good food like I've had in your company this week. Brother Lawrence was the patriarch. He sat at the head of the table each Sunday afternoon. And after every lunch, he would push his chair back from the table and put his hands on his full stomach. And he would say, "That was so good, I wish we were just starting." Well, I wish we were just starting our time together this week. From my perspective, it's gone very quickly. And that's attributed to the good people with whom I've associated this week. It's been a joy to be with you and to be built up. I feel like I'm taking more home with me to Houston than I'm leaving behind here. And I thank you for that. I wish we were just starting. As time does go on, Brother Lawrence died, and not long after that, Sister Jean died. And I remember thinking at their funerals, when we've been in heaven for 10,000 years, we'll just be getting started. And I look forward to that reunion. I suppose I only have one regret for the meeting this week. I wish I had known Brother L.G. Clemens. From the way you've described him and from being with his family, I wish I'd had that pleasure. But I'll just have to wait until we all get to heaven. I've enjoyed being with Brian and his family this week. I know you feel fortunate to have him here, to have someone in whom you can have the confidence that no matter what he says or does, it's going to be all in the name of the Lord. And I hope you thank God for him and his family. I hope you're thankful for the two men who are your shepherds here, and their wives who support them as they lead you with one goal, to get to heaven. And I hope you'll thank God for them. And it's been a pleasure not just to renew relationships with those I've known before, but then to be introduced to people and to learn your names and to know about you. And isn't it amazing in God's family where just a few days ago we didn't know each other at all? And now it's hard for me to think about singing in heaven without seeing our brother Daniel over there. And without seeing all of us gathered around the throne of God and doing what we did just for a little while this week, but having that forever. So thank you for the taste and glimpse of heaven you've given me this week. Our final passage that we'll read together this week is going to be in Joshua chapter 14. And I'd like for you to turn and read with me in your Bible, Joshua chapter 14. This is after the wilderness wanderings. This is after Israel has gone into the land of Canaan and conquered the other nations, and now it's time for them to inhabit and inherit the land that was sworn to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And each tribe is beginning to be apportioned their part of the land. And in Joshua 14 and verse 6, the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. And now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken. If I were to ask you tonight to name the two spies who gave a good report to Israel when they first viewed the land of Canaan. Remember, as they camped there in Kadesh Barnea, they were ready to cross over and inhabit the land. And so they chose one man from each tribe, 12 men who would go over and spy out the land and come back and report to the nation of Israel. If I were to ask you, who were the two spies who, in spite of what the other 10 said, yes, we can do this, God will be with us, what would you say? We would say it in that order, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua is always mentioned first. I suppose that's natural because Joshua was the leader who, after the death of Moses, led the children of Israel. Joshua was the great general who was in charge of the conquest. When they did cross over 40 years later, it was Joshua who led the conquest. Joshua has a book of the Old Testament named after him. So it's Joshua and Caleb. Well, tonight I want us to talk about the overshadowed spy. The one who's not always in the spotlight. And especially do I want us to notice a phrase that is said about Caleb twice in our reading, but six times total in the Old Testament. He followed the Lord fully. That's what it says about Caleb. He followed the Lord fully. Don't you love when there are certain phrases that are said about certain Bible characters and about no one else? For instance, Abraham is the only one in the Bible called the friend of God. That doesn't mean God didn't have any other friends. It just meant that Abraham was the one who through his faith showed that's the kind of person God wants to call his friend. David, the man after God's own heart. Caleb, he followed the Lord fully. What does that mean? Why is it said that way? What does it mean not just to follow the Lord, but to follow the Lord fully? We know what it means to be fully charged, fully dressed, fully grown, fully operational. What does it mean to follow the Lord fully? Well, we're going to see with Caleb, that involves three things. And we're not interested just in looking at these for the sake of trivia or history or any other entertainment value. I want to encourage you to follow him who followed the Lord fully. If every part of the body does that, the inevitable result is that the body will be built up if we will follow him who followed the Lord fully. That's going to take three things. To follow the Lord fully, number one, involves vision. Caleb was able to see things from a different perspective. He had a different vision than even his fellow spies. Following the Lord fully is going to require a superior vision. Now remember, when these 12 men were chosen to spy out the land, they were to go over for 40 days and get a good look at what land God had provided for his children. And they did. They saw the cities, and they saw the people, and they saw, yes, the reports are true. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. And they even brought back some of the produce of the land. One of the best ways I ever saw this illustrated was in a children's Bible class. The teacher had taken a broomstick and blown up some purple balloons and tied it to the broomstick. And she had the kids carry these clusters of grapes around. That's how it said they did when they came back from spying out the land in Numbers chapter 13. But I want you to notice who the spokesman was in Numbers 13 for the minority, for Joshua and Caleb. Because when the spies returned from looking at the land, they all agreed about the size of the city and the people and the produce. Verse 25 of Numbers 13. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very strong. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan." They all agreed about that. Yes, the cities are large and fortified. Yes, the people are huge there. That wasn't overestimated. Nobody blew that out of proportion. That was exactly as all 12 of them saw. But notice what Caleb said when he was given turn to speak in verse 30. "Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'We shall by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it.'" Notice that Caleb did not say, "Oh, they weren't that big. Oh, they didn't have that impressive of an army." Yes, he said, it's exactly as they said. The cities are big, but they're not as big as God. The people may be fortified, but they're not stronger than God. "We shall surely overcome it." How could he do that? Because of his vision. He was not looking at things from the ground up. He saw them from God's throne down. When our kids were much younger, we took him to an event at the Houston Zoo called the Houston Zoobilee. And the highlight attraction was the new orangutan visit. So we went straight there. And my son David was still in a stroller then. And so I pushed him up to where he was at the front row where he could see. And I was watching, everybody was watching their orangutan, and anything he did, people were, looking at, and I heard David down in the stroller go, "Wow!" And I looked down, he was watching a squirrel go over here. He wasn't even looking over at the orangutan. The 10 spies saw the people in the cities, and they said, "Wow!" Caleb saw him from God's perspective. He said, "They're the ones that are grasshoppers, not us. They're the ones who are going to be defeated, not us. because God is leading us. You want to follow him who followed the Lord fully? You're going to have to change your vision. You're going to have to see things from a different perspective. This is not a sermon about positive thinking. It's not a sermon about being optimistic or seeing the glass half full. This is a sermon about faith in God. Yes, we have our trials, and yes, we have our giants in our life, but they're not as big as Him. We shall surely overcome them. Why? Because God is with us. And it doesn't matter what's on the other side. All they could see were the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Termites and all those other ites over there. That's all they could see. All Caleb could focus on is God. He's on His throne. We shall surely overcome. When you face your difficulties, do you see things as impossible? I just can't make my marriage work. You need to change your vision. I just can't be a Christian in this environment. It's too hard. You need to change your perspective. I just can't defeat this addiction. I can't overcome this problem. I'm too weak. You need to change your look. It takes a vision of Him who followed the Lord fully. Remember when Peter was on the boat